morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimak, coming to you today from Cleveland, Ohio. I'll tell you more about that later, but I'm here to tell you we have got a great show. I'll give you the details as soon as we pray. Let's pray first in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we know that you are present with us right now. We know you hear these words as we pray, so we ask you, Father, to help us. To help us as we go out into the world today and deal with whatever situations that we encounter. Father, we ask for the strength that we need to be able to deal with these whatever experiences that we run across. We ask you, Father, to give us the grace to be able to share your love with those around us today. We give to you all of our problems. Whatever our needs are at the moment, we give them to you. We ask you to handle them for us. We lift up our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to increase vocations. We ask you to speak through us on the radio program today. May your words go forth from our mouths. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your words. And we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. As I mentioned, I'm not in the studio today. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, actually coming to you from a hotel room. I had the blessing last night of speaking at a Legatus meeting. Legatus is an organization for Catholic business professionals. So I had a great time talking to some people who are really trying to integrate their faith and their work life. I mean, that's something that you don't hear about. You hear just the opposite nowadays. Don't bring faith into the workplace. But there are people out there who are trying to do it. So we had a great time last night. I miss being in the studio, but I'm headed home right after the program, flying home to Philly, and I'll be back in the studio tomorrow. I'm assuming that in the studio is Dave Parker. Mr. Parker, are you there?
Assuming correctly, brother. How are you?
I am doing great. I miss you, my friend.
I miss you too, Gare.
What's going on? Yesterday, you're not there. Today, I'm not there.
Yeah, well, I'm here, but Frank is out doing some. He's doing some technical stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm trying to bring my left knee back, and it's working.
Good for you.
More rest, staying off of it. I want to thank everybody for their thoughts and prayers, especially you and Frank and the Holy Spirit Radio family. So keep me in your prayers, you're in mine. And so, Gare, Legatus sounded like it went very well.
It's a great group, Dave. You know, I've spoken to so many of their chapters. They have chapters all over the country, and they're actually going international now. But it's such a great experience to be able to see very successful business owners and professionals who are really trying to bring the Lord into their work lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the things we do on this show, we try to do on this show, is to help you out there listening at home, help you to bring the Lord into your daily life, or to remember that he's there. You don't need to bring him in because he's already there, but you need to remember that he's there.
Okay, yes,
and
yes. Go ahead.
Dave, I think our guests are going to really help us to do that today. We have on the show coming up shortly Father John Burns, who has written a book called Lift Up Your Heart, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Francis de Sales. Mm-hmm. The book is all about remembering the presence of God wherever you go. I mean, I think you're going to really like listening to what Father Burns has to say. And then Chris Stepien, a regular guest on the program, the author of the book Dying to Be Happy, Discovering the Truth About Life, he mm-hmm. will be joining us at well, mm-hmm. as well.
Again, I was going to say on St. Francis de Sales, my first project here, you know, the Saint quotes,
yeah.
About 75 or 80% of the book that I quoted from, A Year with the Saints, and also Marianne McCormack doing the female saints, was St. Francis de Sales. So I really love St. Francis de Sales. And I loved him before that in the quotes, but it really brought focus to me, you know?
Yeah, and he really has a handle. And even though his writings were I think he wrote about 400 years ago, mm-hmm. he has a handle on what it takes to keep to be mindful of the presence of God throughout the day. That is a big problem for so many of us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm going to include myself in there, too, just because I'm on Catholic radio and write about Jesus and go out and speak about Jesus. Don't think I don't struggle with this, because I do. That's why I invite so many of these great guests onto the program, because I want to get better. at remembering that the Lord is with me wherever I go, and I want to live my life in such a way that represents the fact that he's with me. And that's challenging because we face situations every day that distract us. So many, Dave, so many distractions in life take our minds off of our ultimate goal. What's our ultimate goal? Getting to heaven. And right? But who thinks about a lot of people, most people don't think about that each
that's
day.
That's true. And back to DeSales. I mean, he is a very practical saint.
Yep.
You know, throughout, as you say, throughout the day, he gives us little tidbits of, if we just follow it in our daily lives, it will help us immensely.
Yeah. And he is practical, and that's what I like about his message. It's practical, and it's something that we can all put into practice. It's not fluff. It's not something that we can't do. It's things that we can do.
Absolutely. Hey, Gare, can I ask you how's Cleveland? And you know, it sits right on Lake Erie. Is the weather good, or is the weather not so good up there?
The weather was interesting yesterday. It was in the mid-70s, but today it's going to get up into the high 80s, which I think is the same that you're experiencing back home.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we had some a good day, and then all of a sudden a big storm blew through late in the afternoon. So. We're recovered from that, but it's going to go up to about 90 today, I hear, and high humidity. So
okay,
we're in summer.
Interesting, David. Yeah, we are officially in summer now, right?
Absolutely.
Yesterday was the first day of summer. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, you're
right. Dave, when you're not here, I forget facts like that, or when you're not in the studio. So we need you to remind us of those facts.
Thank you.
Yeah, I totally meant to remind you about that yesterday.
Yeah, well, it's not like good morning, Frank, by the way.
Good morning.
It's not like we didn't have other problems. And by the way, this remote setup works a lot better, Frank, when I flip the mic switch onto the on position. That's what I learned yesterday, right?
Radio 101, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, basic.
Around here, we like to learn what we're doing on the air, right, Frank? This is on-the-job training. Hello, Frank, I can't hear my mic. What's up?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is I'm sitting here swapping out mics as we're doing this, and this was my way of testing the mic before I was saying hi to you.
You know, Frank,
good.
Behind the scenes.
Very good.
It was a good show yesterday, Gare. I listened from home, you know, and you got that little technical stuff out of the way. It was a very good program.
Well, thank you, Dave. Thank you. It's always always a blessing to be here. And we have so many great guests on this show. It's just we're just so fortunate to be able to connect with so many great people to help us, to help all of us, to really live our faith day in and day out. Before I run out of time, I want to make sure that I read the gospel today. This is a great one. Jesus is continuing the Sermon on the Mount today. It's from Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 15. Now, I want to caution you, before I read this, you've heard a lot of this before. This is going to sound very familiar. But try to treat it as if this is the first time you're ever hearing this. That's the mistake we make sometimes with certain passages in the gospel. We think, well, I've heard this before, so I don't need to listen. This is really important. Let's do it. It's Matthew 6, verses 7 through 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." Now, that is a really familiar gospel passage. We've all heard that before. And I think it's interesting, Dave, that Jesus is cautioning us. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, be careful. Just don't go through the motions when you pray. Don't babble like the pagans who think that the more words they say, the more the prayers will be heard. He says that. And then he goes on to say, this is how you are to pray. And he presents the words of the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father. Now, there's a temptation there for us to hear those words. And we pray this prayer every Sunday at Mass, every day at Mass if we go to daily Mass, and probably elsewhere throughout the Rosary.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Lord's Prayer is a very familiar prayer. There is that temptation to zone out and just go in autopilot and not mean the words.
Absolutely.
Right? But just because this is a formal or a spoken prayer, the Lord's Prayer I'm talking about, doesn't mean it's not a good prayer. It's the prayer that Jesus taught us. But what the Lord is saying is, make sure you listen to the words and really mean them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, and we have to sometimes slow down and go off autopilot and unpack it. You know, it's so rich. It's such a rich, succinct prayer.
Right.
It's a complete prayer.
Yeah. Yeah, and when asked how to pray, this is what Jesus responded,
mm-hmm.
with these words. And I mean, if you just slow down and just focus on the fact that you can say, Our Father. Number one, we have a Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, He's not just my Father, but He's our Father. That means, Dave, you and me and everyone else
ever
created, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Christ, because of virtue, by virtue of the fact that He came to earth and became one of us, we all have a common Father. And
yes,
that's
we do.
Really, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm praying, when I pray that prayer, not just for me, but for everybody in the world. And that's so easy to forget. And Dave, the last point I want to make about this ties into nicely what Chris Stepien will be discussing today. Jesus emphasizes one of the petitions in the Our Father. He says, if you forgive others their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Why did He emphasize that? Because it's pretty important, and because He knows we have a problem with that.
Yes. And I was going to say, yeah, it's so, I mean, that is, to me, it is the complete prayer. And it's so easily, we can say it when we're driving, we could say it in the comfort of our home, whenever we need to, and we should say it often, you know, and to invite the Lord in.
And there are times when I'm not focused and I don't have the right words to pray. We all deal with this at times. That's when it's great to go to a prayer like this.
Absolutely.
And to really pray these words given to us by Jesus. So, I mean, I don't think it gets any better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And a great reminder for us that we need to forgive those around us. So keep those words in mind. Let's put them into practice today. When we come back, we'll be joined by Father John Burns to talk about his book, Lift Up Your Heart, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Francis de Sales. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 22nd. Today we celebrate St. Thomas More. His belief that no lay ruler has authority over the Church of Christ cost Thomas More his life. He was beheaded on London's Tower Hill in July of 1535. His crime was refusing to approve King Henry VIII's divorce and remarriage and establishment of the Church of England. Thomas More was indeed a man for all seasons. He was a literary scholar, eminent lawyer, gentleman, father of four children, Chancellor of England, and lay Franciscan. He was known for his intelligence and wit, as well as his integrity and loyalty. A deeply spiritual man, he believed that true allegiance to authority is not blind acceptance of everything that authority wants. King Henry himself realized this and tried desperately to win his Chancellor to his side, because he knew Thomas More was a man of integrity. When it became clear he could not be won over, Henry felt he had to get rid of him. In 1935, 400 years after his death, Thomas More was canonized a saint. In 2000, Pope John Paul II named him patron saint of politicians. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
When going about your daily life becomes difficult, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. 1-800-273-8833.
Angel Army provides compassionate home care services. Angel Army can assist you with your personal care, make your bed, do your laundry, and perform light housekeeping. We can accompany you to various appointments, shopping, or just keep you company.
Angel Army is an equal opportunity company and can be reached at 215-805-8433 or visit angelarmycare.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
We hide pain in the weirdest places. Broken souls with smiling faces. Fighting for surrender. For now and the after, yeah. Just look around and you see that people are scared to say how they really feel. Oh, we all need a little honesty, yeah. You are loved. If your heart's in a thousand pieces, if you're lost and far from reason, just look up, know you are loved. Superheroes, photoshopped, all size zeros, a light not expected, but not quite perfected, yeah. Look up, see the sun is shining, there's hope on a new horizon, call it new, it's calling. You are loved. If your heart's in a thousand pieces, if you're lost and you're far from reason, just look up, know you are loved.
Loved by Stars Go Dim. What a great thought for you today. Think about that. You are loved. God loves you more than you can imagine. And I think that's something that we all need to hear today. My name is Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Time right now is 7:19 or 7:18. Thank you so much for joining us, for making us a part of your day. I think one of the greatest challenges that I face and many others face is, how do I remember the presence of God in my life as I go about my day-to-day duties with all the distractions that I face, and how do I avoid just going through the motions? It's a very real problem, and I think our next guest is going to help us with that. Father John Burns has written a book, Lift Up Your Heart, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Francis de Sales from Ave Maria Press. Father John is the pastor of St. Mary's Parish in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. He also serves as adjunct professor of moral theology at Sacred Heart School of Theology in Hales Corners, Wisconsin. And he has worked extensively with Mother Teresa's sisters, the missionaries of charities of charity, and he's given retreats for them around the world. Father John joins us right now to talk about this great new book. Father, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gary. How are you? Good morning, everybody.
I am great. So glad to be with you today. Father, I love the book.
I'm glad you got a chance to pray with it. It was a work of inspiration, seriously. I wrote the whole thing in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and it just kind of flowed out. And so I know it's from the Lord. So glad it's touching your heart. I hope it reaches out and, yeah, opens a lot of us to this really important truth about heaven and sin and our need to think about all this stuff every day, not just at the end of our lives.
Yeah, and let's talk about this, Father, because in the introduction to the book, and I know this is going to resonate with our listeners, you say, like many people, I grew up knowing, and I knowing I was supposed to get to heaven and that God wanted me there. But as a child, I remember not really knowing what heaven was, not understanding the supposed goal of my life. With the passing of years, I found less and less attraction to the idea of heaven, as it remains something distant, something hard to understand, mysterious. And you mentioned that gradually you let go of the final goal, and you began to make life here on earth your heaven. Father, what changed in your life to make you realize that you were just going through the motions?
You know, it was two factors, really. One, the experience of living the way the world told me to live. This is before I entered seminary. I was pursuing all of my worldly goals the way that our culture and my friends all said, you should live in order to be happy. And I was doing that and succeeding on the world's terms and finding myself less and less happy. My heart was heavier and heavier, and something was off. I prayed through the Meditations of St. Francis de Sales, which Lift Up Your Heart's based on. And those 10 meditations literally broke everything open for me and just changed the way I think about my purpose, which is an ultimate purpose, right, to get to heaven, but it's something that has to be on the mind every single day. And to that point that you mentioned in the introduction, I think that's the heart of a lot of what makes it difficult for people, is that we hear from the church that our goal is to be with God forever in heaven. We have to live for that. But it's so hard to have images for heaven, you know, like we're stuck with all that stuff we remember from when we're kids. Like when I think of heaven, I think of clouds and harps and angels and pearly gates.
Right.
And that's all fine, but like the idea of spending an eternity sitting on a cloud with a harp and an angel is like weird and then sort of creepy. I don't really want that.
You're right.
And so if the church is telling me that's my goal, deep down, I don't really want the goal that the church tells me God has just placed before me. So we have to sort of purify that out, and that's what Lift Up Your Heart does, is give us a way of remembering that the ultimate goal of our lives has to be on our mind every day, giving us some imagery to accept the love of God and the call to live for it, and then giving us the tools to work against any and every obstacle which stands in our way, which is just sin. The point of the book really is to help us realize that sin in our lives is the greatest obstacle to our joy. And if we don't have a good way to oppose that, to identify it and uproot it, we're going to always feel that heaviness of heart, that sadness that I referenced before, all of which God wants to break us free from if we'll let him lead us. That's really the purpose of this book, Gary.
And we'll try to briefly touch on each of these meditations. We don't have a lot of time. But, Father, I want to ask you about one thing. St. Francis de Sales mentions in his writings that the first and greatest commandment of Christ, he highlights this, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your mind. Now, we've all heard that. And generally, we hear that and we say, oh, yeah, I do that. And then we go out and just live our life in a way that doesn't really support our belief that we love the Lord above all things. You mentioned that such a love like that requires for most people, a radical reordering of priorities and relationships. Talk about that a little bit, if you will, Father, because that's scary when I hear that.
Yeah, for sure. It's challenging because, to your point there, we have to really ask that question. Like, I might say I love God, but does my life support that? In the way that I'm living my life, am I acting in a way that always reflects that I am a man of Christ and that I've been, my life has been changed because of what he did on the cross and through my baptism? Does my life show that? And it's not like we need to be standing on the corners, you know, thumping our Bibles. Some are called to that for sure. But we all need to be aware that our lives are supposed to be emanating out a truth about our existence, that we're not made for this world, and that we choose daily in all the little choices in ways that are either moving us toward the good or away from it. And so if we're not bringing that question of God's love into each and every little deliberation throughout the day, we can often get way off track. And sometimes we'll find ourselves way down the road of sin and still trying to say, I love God. But it's because perhaps we haven't been asking that question in the little choices. How does this choice glorify God or not? How does this relationship move me toward or away from the Lord? How does this activity, this job, this undertaking, is this making me more or less like Christ? And if we ask those questions throughout the day, we find for sure there's often a lot of stuff in our lives that is dividing us from the Lord, which ultimately is making us sad, isolated, lonely, but it's also perpetuating an earthly or a worldly sadness that keeps us from discovering the call to carry Christ about and to reflect that love in the way we act, pray, respond to the day-to-day craziness of our lives, and order it all toward the pursuit of the kingdom. The point of the retreat, Lift Up Your Heart, is to kind of give us a way to do that through the course of just 10 days to sort of say, I'm going to commit more fully to asking these big questions about my little choices so that I don't forget where I'm supposed to be headed and how it's supposed to reflect God's love.
Now, this is a 10-day retreat. It is very doable because I took a look at the meditations. Let me just briefly go through these meditations. We have about 2.5 minutes left, Father. The first meditation on our creation. The second meditation on the end for which we were created. The third meditation on God's benefactions. The fourth meditation on sin. The fifth meditation on death. The next one on judgment, on hell, on paradise. The ninth meditation, the election and choice of heaven. The tenth meditation, the election and choice the soul makes of a devout life. Father, in the midst of these meditations, you focus on the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Not especially popular for many people. We don't necessarily want to go there. But thinking about those four things really changes the way we live our lives, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, Gary, it's about being a little more realistic. You know, our culture is trying to tend us to push death off, and we'll deal with that at the end, and let's get our lives just right here and now. But we don't know when that's coming, and so to address these issues in a formal, prayerful way, just for a few minutes a day, really, is all this takes to do this retreat, to put these on our minds helps us to kind of recognize that, like, look, I'm going to stand in front of the Lord someday. I don't know when that day is. It's probably sooner than I expect, and so I just want to be prepared for that. And not scared of it, but rather joyful about the fact that if I can come in front of God with hands filled with love, with a life that resonates, a responsiveness to his gifts, then I will be able to stand in front of the Lord and say, Lord, here's what I've done, and I want to be with you forever. And we'll be able to hear that great word, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant. Mm. So addressing the four last things, even our own death, is ultimately very helpful, but also very hopeful. And it's realistic because it's just something we can't avoid, even though we want to, because for sure it can be scary to think about these things. It's hopeful when it's done in the light of our faith, and that's the point of Lift Up Your Heart.
Exactly, and it's a very hopeful book. Lift Up Your Heart, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Francis de Sales by Father John Burns. Father, a couple points before we go. You're donating all the proceeds from this book, correct?
Yeah, I have no interest in making any money. I'm a diocesan priest, and I wish I was even poorer than I am. So every penny that I make in royalties goes right back to the seminary, St. Francis de Sales Seminary, to help form future priests and make sure we've always got holy pastors to lead us to the Lord. Thanks for asking, Gary.
Awesome. And, Father, from what I understand, the book is now in its third printing, and it's the only place it's available right now is from Amazon. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're out of stock at Ave Maria, and most bookstores, at least around here, are out, which is a beautiful problem. But yeah, please check Amazon to buy it.
All right, Father, thank you so much. We're out of time. Father John Burns, the book, Lift Up Your Heart, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Francis de Sales, available from Ave Maria Press. Stay tuned. When we come back, Chris Stepien.
I'm Jacob Popcheck with this Holy Spirit Radio news update. The United Arab Emirates and allied Yemeni forces have run a network of secret prisons across southern Yemen, where hundreds of people detained in the hunt for al-Qaeda militants have disappeared and where former prisoners say torture and abuse are widespread. American interrogators have questioned some detainees and regularly receive access to their testimony, a potential violation of international laws against complicity in torture. Back domestically, congressional aides and lobbyists say Senate Republicans would cut Medicaid and penalties for people not buying insurance and erase a raft of tax increases as part of their long-awaited health care bill. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell plans to release that measure today, in fact. The proposal represents the party's long-awaited attempt to scuttle much of President Obama's health care law, but support by enough GOP senators is not quite yet guaranteed. And in church news, Pope Francis has pledged to donate about $500,000 to support church-run education, healthcare, and agricultural projects in South Sudan, even as other church officials, including the Vatican's Integral Human Development head, Cardinal Peter Turkson, work to stop the war plaguing that nation. Part of the Pope's donation will go to support a college in Yambio run by Solidarity with South Sudan to train teachers, nurses, midwives, farmers, and community leaders. Other beneficiaries of the initiative, entitled The Pope for South Sudan, include two hospitals run by Kamboni missionaries and an agricultural project run by Caritas to provide livelihoods for 2,500 families. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Jacob Popcheck.
The National Shrine of Częstochowa is creating the Living Crown of Mary. The crown will be made of a mosaic made up of images submitted from around the globe. It is easy to take part. First, take a picture of yourself and send it to the shrine. Second, offer Mary something that is beautiful. The third step is taking Mary into your life. For your participation, the Shrine of Częstochowa will send you the image of Our Lady of Częstochowa as a sign you are a precious jewel in the Living Crown of Mary. Visit livingcrownofmary.com to learn more.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. When comedian Mark Russell came out of retirement at age 83, Mark Zimmerman of the Catholic Standard wrote about him and captured a few of his one-liners in the process. Russell comes originally from Buffalo, where he graduated from Canisius High School, and he'll jokingly blame his Catholic education for his technical skill shortcomings. When I was a kid, he'll say, the nuns never taught the boys how to type. The only electronic device I know how to use in my house is the toaster. I can upload toast. And regarding the staff at Canisius, Russell declared, after the Jesuits, the Marines were anticlimactic. He also joked about congressional gridlock, saying that Congress tried to pass a resolution commemorating Cinco de Mayo. The only trouble? They couldn't agree on the date. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going way too fast. And before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the change. So from now on tonight, Jesus, take the wheel.
Jesus Take the Wheel by Carrie Underwood. Great advice today for all of us, right? To let Jesus take the wheel of our lives. Things are going to work out much better that way. Let's do a quick look at the weather forecast for the greater Philadelphia area. Right now, the Philadelphia International Airport, it is 70 degrees. Today, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 88. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 74. And Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 87 degrees. Thanks for listening to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to be with you. I'm coming to you from remotely today from Cleveland, Ohio. I was speaking last night, but we're through the magic of technology. We're able to get this thing going, and I'm able to join you, even though I'm not in the studio. Chris Stepien is a regular guest on the program. He is the author of the fantastic book, Dying to Be Happy, Discovering the Truth About Life, from Beacon Publishing, and he's here to talk about one of the chapters in his book. Chris, are you there, brother?
I am. Good morning.
All right. Good morning. We have to talk about something here, because this is amazing. You know, as much as I try to put this show together, the Holy Spirit does an even better job, Chris. We had the gospel today. I read the gospel at the start of the show. Jesus talked about the fact that if we don't forgive those who wrong us, then our Heavenly Father is not going to forgive us. That's one point. Then we have a guest on, a previous guest talked about a 10-day retreat based on the Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales. And he made the point that we always need to be ready, because one day we'll die and be judged. And now here you are to follow up that. I mean, I see a theme developing here.
Not to mention, you played Jesus Take the Wheel.
Yes.
If Jesus is going to take the wheel, I got to let go of the wheel.
That's right.
And everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard sometimes to talk about death. But yet, when we acknowledge the fact that we're all mortal and we will die one day, and we say, okay, I'm going to make the best use of my time right now, not only are we headed in the right direction and headed to heaven by doing that, but we're also going to find a lot more peace.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, what Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, I came to testify to the truth. Mm-hmm. And so he told us many things that are very truthful. He talked a lot about heaven, and he talked a lot about living here. Like, you know, who among you can add a single moment to your lifespan by worrying? Don't worry about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He told us to forgive, to turn the other cheek, and listen to the Our Father. I mean, I just said it while I was to myself, while listening to the music just before going on, and I'm reminded, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So heaven's somewhere where God's will is done. So he talked a lot about very practical things, and he said, you know, take my burden, my yoke upon your shoulders. It is light. He offers us peace. He offers help to those who labor. So we, you know, you said it's hard to talk about death, but we love to talk about other people's death. We read the obituary. Somebody famous dies. We'll watch hours of stories on TV. We just don't want to talk about our own death or maybe someone near and dear to us because it's too real. And
right.
if we face the reality of our own death, then it opens up the opportunity to quit lying to ourselves about lots of other things that we lie about ourselves to. You know, we can, I used to weigh a lot more than I do now, maybe 6 pant sizes. Believe it or not, there were times during that period that I could perceive myself as not fat. Now imagine that. I mean, that's a big lie. You know, it's a lot of denial. It's a, you know, and I'm not talking about the river. It's a very big wall that I had between me and that mirror deceiving myself. So, no, acknowledging our mortality is truth. And that's what Jesus came to testify to.
Amen.
Wow.
And this book, this book, Dying to Be Happy, grew out of your wife's experience with an aggressive form of breast cancer. And just for an update, she is in remission now, correct?
Yes, she is. We discovered her breast cancer in October of 2014. Actually, some of the treatment began within months, and then it was progressively pursued surgery and chemotherapy throughout 2015. And since that point, there are no other signs of cancer. But as Ellen will tell you, she says, I know it's in me somewhere. And it's just a question of what, you know, and what will take her someday. Will it be the cancer? Maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe she'll trip over her shoelace off a curb or whatever, you know. The reality is no one's getting out of this alive, and we got to be ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, the chapter we're discussing today is, and this is, this took my breath away when I read this, drinking poison. Now, what's that all about?
Well, drinking poison, there's a quote in the book that's attributed, if you search it and research it, it's attributed to many people. It basically says, holding a grudge or wanting revenge is like drinking poison and waiting for your adversary to die. Because what happens to us is we have this anger the resentment that we have. It's okay to be angry, but resentment takes it to the next level. Jesus was angry. You remember in the temple when he turned the tables over?
Right.
But justifiable anger is okay, but to hold on to it is wrong. That, you know, it's like drinking poison. It eats away at us. It's sort of like, you know, it's raising your hand and saying, I'm signing up for this cancer. I'm going to put it inside my body, and I'm going to think about this person. I'm going to let them rent space in my mind every day. Mm. And it begins to take you over and changes who you are. And this becomes a burden, and your burden is no longer light because you're not only carrying your life, but you're carrying the weight of this resentment.
Mm. Chris, we can't ignore the words of Jesus in today's gospel. He said, if you don't forgive others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Now, if even putting peace aside, I mean, they're powerful words. If we're going to say we're followers of Christ, we need to listen to what he's saying and put it into practice, don't we?
Sure. And we probably say the Our Father a lot. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In other words, we're saying, Lord, I want you to forgive me just like I forgive everybody else who hurts me in my life.
I know.
Okay, Chris, what about this? Why are you hanging on to all that resentment and you want me to forgive you for this? So, like Father said this morning, you know, when you go to face Jesus and you sit down with him and he opens his iPad and he looks and he's scrolling through, he says, oh, boy, okay, but, you know, I know you have this propensity to overeat, and Chris, you talk too much, and you got a big ego. But why couldn't you have helped that neighbor of yours who was having that trouble? That's what I really wanted from you. I don't want sacrifice. I want mercy.
Wow.
I told you I wanted mercy. I want you to love. Love. So forgive. Sure, he cut you off on the road. Sure, he never brought back your lawn tool that you lent him. Come on. Forget it. Let it go. Live happy. Mm-hmm. I want you to be at peace in this world and the next.
And Chris, to forgive somebody doesn't mean it necessarily has to feel good, does it? I mean, I might still have that bit of resentment inside of me, but I can make the conscious decision to forgive someone, can't I?
Well, for sure. And I once had a priest tell me, you know, if you have like a resentment or anger about something, start praying for that person. And he said, you know, believe it or not, in a couple weeks, you might even forget about what the issue was. And it's worked for me every time. It just goes away. It's just the salve. It just it goes away, just like an injury. You get an injury, right? And that's what you're forgiving. But your body heals it. When we're talking about a spiritual healing, a salve, Jesus is the balm for our soul. We have to start to acknowledge that we're body, mind, and spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have this other essence of ourselves, this other state of being that needs healing. And when we don't forgive, we live unhealthy spiritual lives, and it weighs us down. We can't separate these elements within ourselves, body, mind, and spirit.
Right. And every one of us, I think if we think about it enough, we have somebody that we need to forgive. I like to think that I don't hold grudges, but the more I pray about it, the more I realize there are these little grudges that I do hold. And I think each of us has to be aware of that. And today, try to forgive somebody. There's got to be somebody out there who has wronged you or will wrong you throughout the course of the day. Chris, we only have about a minute left. The book, Dying to Be Happy, Discovering the Truth About Life. I can't recommend it highly enough. Where is the best place to pick up a copy of the book?
Well, you can get it at Amazon, but you can also get it at dynamiccatholic.com, and you can buy it in quantity. It's now in paperback as well.
Oh,
so,
awesome.
Dynamiccatholic.com is a wonderful place to buy it in quantity, very affordable, you know. Read it, and don't forget to forgive yourself, too, today. Because
there
we all
you
have
go.
To forgive ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great,
beautiful.
That's a great point. Chris, thank you so much for joining us, brother. You know, I really appreciate you being a part of the show.
I really appreciate the opportunity. It's humbling, and I'm grateful. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Chris Steppe in the book is Dying to Be Happy, Discovering the Truth About Life. Boy, every time he comes on, I learn something. Dave Parker, great segments today, aren't they?
Beautiful
aren't they?
Segments. Great segments, Gare. Great job.
Yep. When we come back, it's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible Verse. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers & Zims. Summers & Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers & Zims' telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 6, Jesus warned not to perform religious deeds in order that people may see them. When you give alms, he said, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. They've already received their reward. Telling his disciples this, of course, he is telling us as well. We are to give to the poor in secret, but his point here is not about doing things secretly. There are other passages where he encourages us to let our good works be seen as an example to others. His concern is that we be centered on God and not on ourselves. To do good and even holy things for selfish reasons betrays our lack of love for him. The clock is ticking. Our days here are limited. Only so much more time for accepting the inconvenience of truly loving those he puts in our path. Let's use that time as he would. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
From their own minds, from something they won't
I see unanswered questions pry apart their convictions and cause them to fall down. And it surprises me to know that he answers all questions just by softly saying, be still and know I am God. Oh, be still and know I am God. Everywhere I go, I find myself running mindlessly in circles from the doubts in my head. And everywhere I go, I wonder where I'm going. I wonder if I'm showing everything that must be seen. And it surprises me to know that he answers all my questions just by strongly saying to me, be still and know I am God. Oh, be still and know. Some things happen to those I love, and why it always seems to be that everywhere I go, I live my life as if he doesn't know best. But only in the Lord is my soul at rest. Still it's easier said than done, just to be still and know he is God. Oh, be still and know he is God. Be still and know he is God. Oh, be still and
still by Luke Spehar. Be still and know that he is God. My name is Gary Zimek, and you're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Time right now is 7:53. Let's take a look at your Be Not Afraid Bible verse for the day. It comes from 1 Peter 3, verses 14 and 15. But even if you should suffer because of righteousness, blessed are you. Do not be afraid or terrified with fear of them, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. This is a powerful message, and when you look at this message in light of the guests and what the topics have been today, I think we're reminded of the fact that there are going to be people in life who will do us wrong, who will criticize us, who will even persecute us because of our religious beliefs. It's going to happen, even if it's just a matter of being laughed at or being scorned or whatever, because of the fact that you believe in the Lord. What St. Peter is saying here is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because you're going to have a reward in heaven one day. On the other hand, always be ready to explain to those around you who say, well, why are you so peaceful? How come you're not losing your cool? How come you're able to forgive people? Always be ready to explain that the reason is because you have Jesus Christ in your life. I think that is such an important thing to remember, because people are going to notice. Dave Parker, This is a message that is really countercultural, because the world tells us You shouldn't forgive. It's your right. These people violated your rights. You have the right to get revenge. That's what the world tells us.
Absolutely.
Jesus tells us the opposite. And people are going to think we're nuts. And they might say, well, Dave Parker, how come you can forgive Gary Zimek so many times for being a knucklehead, right?
Because I myself am a knucklehead, and I think you forgive me, too. Because Jesus tells us
Dave,
to, asks us to, yes.
Right. And people are going to notice that there's something different about Dave Parker.
Or Gary Zimek or Frank Eliason.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're going to say, well, why are you different? Why are you so peaceful? You should be freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
But that opens the door for us.
Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that we don't freak out sometimes, but we're always called to do what the Be Not Afraid Bible verse tells us today, You know, and live that way. And sometimes we don't. We fall. But then we can get back up through Jesus' mercy for us, and then we have to get back on track, keeping where we're going ultimately in mind.
That's right. That's right. And this will bring us peace when we think about it. And that's why I included this verse in my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, was because of the fact that we do let things like this upset us. And sometimes we do get panicked when people criticize us or threaten us in any way. But this is a reminder that the Lord's with us. It's going to work out in the best way possible. I just want to make one more quick point. I know we have to take it to prayer, but Dave, in the Catholic Answers Minute today, Father Vincent Serpa, it's amazing how all this came together. He said, "Time is ticking away. You know, we only have so much time to love those around us." Man, that's the message today for this whole program.
And Chris Stepien, you know, his message as well. You know, we never know when we're going to be called, so we best be ready, folks. You know?
And it's not a morbid message. It's really a call to action. It's really a message to get us motivated, because I can tend to be somebody who just goes through the motions. I need to hear that. So I felt that this show was very much inspired by the Holy Spirit, as it is each day, and I think it was a really strong message.
I agree, Gair. Yes, very much so.
Holy Spirit does a good job, Dave Parker.
Yes. We should strive. We should continue to strive to be like the Holy Spirit. He's our guide.
He's our ultimate program director here at Holy Spirit Radio. That's why we're named Holy Spirit Radio. Quick note about tomorrow's program. We're going to be joined by author Chris Wesley, who has written a great book about confirmation, very much misunderstood sacrament. And Brian Mercier will also be joining us to continue his series on his book, Do You Believe in God, or Why Do You Believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
Great series that we're going to continue tomorrow on the program. Mm-hmm. Let's close in prayer, and how about if we use the words that Jesus gave us in the gospel today? We'll pray the Lord's Prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I couldn't think of a better way, Dave, to close out the program.
I thought that was beautiful, Gair.
Right?
Yes.
I can't take credit for that. Jesus came up with those words, but...
But you decided to use it, and that is so apt.
Yes. Hey, man, this was fun.
It was fun. And our guests were awesome. And you're awesome. And Frank's awesome. Although he didn't come on much today.
No, but, he didn't. Working behind the scenes.
He's working
right?
behind the scenes.
Right.
So, but we're going to get ready to get out of here. So okay, travel safe, Garrett.
Thank you, brother. I look forward to seeing you soon. Rest up. Stay off of that knee, Mr. Parker.
Remember,
you listening at home, wherever you are right now, wherever you go today, whatever you do, Lord is with you. Turn around and say hi. Let them know that you love them. I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
This show is produced specially for you by Holy Spirit Radio.